You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 21. I'm going to go Kyle Okposo edition, I think. He was number 21, that's right?
That's a good one.
All right. I don't know if you have any others off the top of your head.
I didn't deep dive into the numbers. I've been doing other stuff. Sorry. I came prepared, just not prepared for what edition of player wore this jersey.
As soon as I started saying, and you're listening to the Eyes on, I was like, oh no, who is 21? Who is 21? Think. And I was like, oh, I think Okposo was.
I was ready to go the inverse Josh Bailey.
That's
how prepared I was.
Okay, well, there you go. I am Matt O'Leary. He is Uncle Sam, a.k.a. Mitch Anderson. Whoa. Well, I don't know, after the video today that was out.
It means nothing. I'm not going to be eating any apple pie anytime soon. Don't worry about it.
No apple pie, baseball, Chevrolet, none of that good stuff.
Oh, Chevrolet, please. I'm not a car guy. I say that, and I'm not a car guy. I'm really not. I like cars because they get me places. I don't like them because of what happens on the inside of the hood. I could care less.
In case you missed it today, on the last episode, me and Mitch made a bet. He followed through with it, and on our social medias at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter and at facebook.com/Eyes on Isles, you could see the video of Mitch singing our American national anthem, and it was a doozy.
Yeah, it was difficult to remember the words. I pulled up the lyrics, and at first the lyric sheet is huge, and I went, oh my god, is it that long? It doesn't seem that long. And then when I read it, I was like, I don't know these words. They don't say that. Oh, wait, it's just the first paragraph. Yes. Awesome. A lot of questions in that anthem. Are you the home of the brave? Question mark? I thought you were. Declarative exclamation mark, not question.
Yeah, I thought that would be an exclamation mark. I didn't get that one. But in fairness to you, I know someone said on Twitter that I should sing the Canadian national anthem. I'm not going to do that right now, but I did look up the lyrics. Much shorter. I think I would have a good chance of doing it.
Oh, the American national anthem?
No, the Canadian one.
The full version. Yeah, ours is a lot shorter. Although, can you do it the official version? You read the non-official version, I'm sure, because you read...
I read English.
There you go. It is English and French, my friend.
Also, I got to do the verse in French, too.
That is the official government-sanctioned version of both English and French.
Oh, boy.
So, good luck to you, my friend.
All right, that...
Always remember to pronounce your accent aigu. Le...
There's no shot I could do that. All right, let's get to the Isles. In their last three games, they actually won a game, so I mean, that's a plus.
Woohoo! Yay, one.
They're 1-2, which was not very good. That's not what we talked about wanting. I think we wanted the Islanders to take 3 of 4, and right now they've taken 1 of 2. No, 1 of 3. Sorry, 1-1 and drop 2. Not so good.
No, and it's also the fact that in the running order I wrote here, that the fact that the break is coming is a good thing. The fact that they ended it on a win, so they won against New Jersey 5-4 in a shootout, mind you, they don't usually win in shootouts, is a good thing to carry that momentum over. I can hear the flip saying, well, you want to be able to play those games to see that momentum through, but I'll take any momentum at this point. Because like you said, Matt, we wanted them to come out of these four games against Metropolitan Division opponents with at least 6 points. They have a possibility of picking up a maximum of 2 right now. Or sorry, a minimum of 2, maximum of 4. So they're already not hitting our minimum of 6. That's not happening. And that's a bad thing to happen, because the Penguins are clicking. They just beat the Islanders just last Friday 4-0, a comprehensive victory. The Philadelphia Flyers are clicking, and the Carolina Hurricanes are clicking. All three teams are teams that we're up against in the standings. Not good. And now we're going against the Rangers, which we should win, but the Rangers are a better team, so who knows? Right? And it's an afternoon game. We're not usually good in afternoon games.
Mitch, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Who does the bye week benefit more? The New York Islanders or our mental health?
Oh, that's a good question. Our mental health, actually, I've had a surprisingly okay week.
I've had a
not having
great
to
week.
Like worry about the hockey. Yeah, what did you do this with your like your free time this bye week? What has the NHL given you to do this week?
I've been to the gym a few times this week. I'm getting in shape.
Holy Hannah, you're gonna put on like 5 pounds on that 20-pound frame of yours.
Yeah, I know. That's
although
all
I say that, and mine is equally slender. So,
but I just feel like, yeah, go back to serious for a second, I do think this break, it comes at the perfect time because they just got out of a 5-game skid. I think winning going into the break is huge. You can get your confidence back going forward against that game against the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. But I do think the break comes at a perfect time for not only the team, but for the fans, because it was tough for a while watching this team lose night in and night out, and giving us a break, it kind of like you're turning over a new leaf come Saturday against the Rangers, and that's a huge game to get you right back into it. It's a big rivalry game, and the Islanders usually match up pretty well against the Rangers. So if they get that win, now you got 2 wins in a row, and you can start building off that and going from there.
Yeah, I like what you say about that reprieve, because when you think about this season, we as fans haven't necessarily had a time out or a time off from this negativity, right? We had the Tavares contract extension is still hanging over our heads. We don't necessarily need to talk about it right now, although people still want to bring it up. I just let it go away for a second, although we're going to have to talk about it ourselves eventually. There's the arena deal that just got settled up just a couple of weeks ago. And now there's the losing skid of 5 losses in a row. We just couldn't escape the negative headlines. I feel like I'm missing a fourth one there, but I can't think about what it is exactly. But at least we have the extension, the arena, oh wait, the ice conditions, but that's not really happening this year, thankfully. And then the losing skid. So like we couldn't get away from it. This is the best way for us, like you say, fans, to get that mental break to just go, we are all taking a step away from the game. We're going to mentally recharge and come back at this full of gusto and hope. Fingers crossed.
Right, and it's kind of perfect that they are playing the Rangers, because that's such a rivalry game. I think that'll get fans like really back into it, especially if they win. I think that could be a real momentum changer for both the team and then the fans' mindset as well.
Right. And like I think I said that back at the start of the season. Like if you look at their opening schedule, they didn't necessarily have a meaningful game. Like they played Columbus, but there's no rivalry there. There's the divisional rivalry, but it's not that big of a deal. They don't necessarily get up for Columbus as much as they would, say, the Rangers, who they didn't play until the 19th of October, which is still early enough, but there's just the season didn't seem to start.
Right.
At least for me, and it felt like the players were kind of going through the same motions where they didn't seem to click and connect and get everything going until they faced Rangers 3 weeks into October. So, like you're saying, maybe that's that perfect catalyst for this, the start of the second half of the season. Rangers day one, boom, get out of the gates going. Because the games are going to come quick and fast in the next couple of months, right? They had a ton of games coming up in February. They have a ton of games coming up in March. So it's going to be, they're coming thick and fast, and there's only 39 left to go. So perfect timing for the Rangers, and that win against New Jersey, perfect timing as well. We ended on a winning streak, and we start against a cross-river opponent. That is huge.
Right. I don't think you can really get any better matchup than that, because it gets the fans up, it gets the players up. Is there anything from these last 3 games that stick out to you that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I wrote down the goaltending looks good, as in Yaroslav Halak. Looks all right. I had his stats open, but I lost the page. I want to get his stats up just to talk about his last 5 games. But it's not just him that's looking good. It's that the defense is looking bad, because they're still letting in a lot of goals, right? In the last 3 games, I think they let in 14 goals against and have scored 9. So they're still scoring enough to win games. That's an average of 3 a game. They're just letting in a whole lot more. And it's not necessarily goaltending. Like, Halak has I almost want to take that back, because he's got 4 out of the last 5 games where he's got sub-900 save percentages. But you know what? Again, that's not necessarily on him, because a lot of these he couldn't necessarily stop. 2-on-1s, that's a 50-50 chance. Good luck on the goalie for that one. A lot of pucks that are going in that shouldn't, because the defensive coverage isn't there. And Now, that's going to come when two of your top four guys aren't around and you're trying to fit guys in like Dennis Seidenberg on the top pairing.
Right.
I think he's a good defenseman, and even good might be putting it well. He was a really good defenseman, never a top pairing guy. So why are you putting him in a top pairing position now that he's, what, 36 years old? It's not the time to do that.
Right. And one of the things that stuck out to me about Halak's numbers is just look at how many shots he faced. Mm. In those games where he had the sub 900 save percentage, it was 38 shots against Pittsburgh, 37 against Boston, 35 against Colorado in not even 40 minutes, and 37 shots against Winnipeg.
Yeah, that's bad. That's real bad.
And even in the win, he faced 46 shots against the Devils. Oh. That's insane.
But the thing that I take solace out of, at least that Devils win, is that it didn't feel like 46 shots were thrown against him. Like, obviously, they were shooting from everywhere because the numbers say so, but it didn't feel that way. So that gives me comfort in to say, like, it didn't look like Yarrow was that busy because he made it look that easy.
Right.
But it's, again, the defensive coverage just wasn't there. It's just not. When you got Sebastian Aho, you know, his first NHL game, was it his first or his second NHL game against the Devils? I'm going to say it was his second.
Oh, boy. Now
I'm saying that, and I don't even have it up.
I think it was his, no, it was his third.
Right, so not even close. And a lot of people are saying he was good. Yeah, he was good on the scoreline because he picked up an assist and a goal. But he also was at fault for letting in goals on the other side with defensive or the pinches that were untimely, that were unnecessary. Same thing with Pulak, pinches that weren't necessary, that weren't timely, giving up goals because of those pinches. So that's what's going to happen. But like, we need better than that from our defensemen. And at this point, we're hopefully looking at a trade to get that a top four guy in. Where we're going to get him from, who knows? But that's what we need. That's the only takeaway I have of what the Islanders need to do right now: top four defensemen.
Yeah, and maybe moving Brock Nelson could yield that plus some more.
Maybe it could, because you're alluding to the fact that Elliot Friedman wrote in his 31 Thoughts just the other day that the Islanders are creeping Brock Nelson around the league. Creeping. That sounds bad. His name is creeping up more and more in trade talks around the league, as in he's being made available through trades. No one's obviously bitten at this point, and I don't know if he alone could get it done. Like, yeah, he's a perennial 40 to 45 point getter last 3 years, but this year he's not.
No.
What do you, like, who, I'm not going to say who do you look for, but who is expendable that you think has value to bring in a top four defenseman?
I would say not anyone on the current Islanders roster. You'd have to go picks.
Right. Well, that means that you don't touch Brock Nelson.
Oh, no, I thought you were like excluding Brock Nelson from.
Oh, sorry. No, including, so anyone and anyone.
Okay.
Who would you send out? Who is expendable to you on the Islanders roster, no matter where it is?
I would say Brock. I would say Beauvillier, as much as I like him. I want the Islanders to keep Beauvillier, but I wouldn't mind losing him as much as I would other players, if that makes sense.
Right. I feel the same way. Michael Dalcolo is obviously in there. Mm-hmm. Although I think the Islanders, now that he's had that little resurgence in the AHL, are going to kind of sit back and wait, saying, okay, is this time now? Do we go? They're kind of playing hopscotch with him, going like, we're not sure. Is it hopscotch or jump rope? Yeah, jump rope. I got my analogies wrong. They're doing like jump rope, where they're not sure if they want to get in on Dalcolo yet, if they're ready or if he's ready. So I think that the two guys to likely move are Beauvillier and Nelson. Is that enough to get you a top four guy? Probably not. But then probably, like you would say, they have those two first round picks that they can throw in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't imagine they get rid of both, but at least one of them. So a first-round pick, Brock and Beauvillier, that should get you a top-four guy at the very least.
Right, I think
should
so.
Should not?
I definitely think so. And not even like a rental player. Someone with a year or two extra with on their contract, I would think.
Either they're in their last year and they're RFA, or they got term. One or the
right,
other. Right, I'm okay with.
Because that's a future first-round pick. Beauvillier was a first-round pick, and Brock Nelson was a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some value. And I think people have the perception that Brock Nelson just needs a change. If he got a change of scenery, he will be looking much better. I think that's what some GMs think.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. He looks, but based on what Elliot Freeman was saying, he's really hard on himself, which, okay, well, maybe relax a little bit, but you're Brock Nelson. And maybe if you relax, he could get those 40 points again. We'll see. It's a perennial thing. Every year he does the same thing. He's hot at the start and hot at the end, and he's super cold in the middle. So he's in his cold period. Always the same. Just know your own ebbs and flows, buddy, and work with it.
Mitch, did you know that Brock Nelson has gone 41 straight regulation periods without a goal?
I did not know that. Are you keeping tabs?
I am. After every single period, I tweet out what the number is on Eyes on Isles. You haven't figured this out yet?
You're probably not helping his anxiety, but all right. That's good content. That's a lot of periods.
That is a lot of periods.
That's a lot of time where he's not scoring, and that's his main asset. And I think for him, it's just getting in a position to score. He's just not in a position to score. No. Although he's getting it. He had that look against, was it Pittsburgh, where he was right on the doorstep and Barzal flung it across the crease and whiffed on it?
Yeah, and then there was one against the Devils where he just shot it right into the goalie's chest. Do you remember that one?
Yeah. Always the logo. Always right the logo. Just get the corners, Brock. But maybe he wasn't looking, but either way, I don't know. I look at the last three games and I say they're doing not very well, and there's not too many signs of encouragement. Maybe that goaltending is looking all right, but now the goaltending is looking okay. The rest of the team is not doing well enough. Like, can we just not have all three doing well at once, please?
Is that too much to ask? This is why we can't have nice things.
Apparently it's too much to ask for.
Yes. Hockey gods, if you're listening, can we just have all three go at the same time? Thank you.
They may have been listening because apparently, like you're going to bring up, we might be going somewhere. We the Islanders, not we, you and I.
Yeah. Did you know? Mitch, of course you knew. That's a terrible segue. Yeah. You do know. We talked about this
before. I brought it up.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Our boy, Gary Bettman, was with John Ledecky at the Collie yesterday. Just minutes from my house, Mitch. The two of them.
You're going straight Collie. You're not even just calling it the Coliseum. You're going straight Collie.
At the Collie. Checking it out. A 90-minute tour and a 30-minute meeting to see if it was playable, if they could make it work on a temporary basis. Your thoughts?
What was he doing exactly? Well, I think the boards need to be a little bit high over here. What's the ice like? Is he pulling out a sample and looking at, like, the density of your ice isn't very good? No, they're talking business. They're not talking about is it playable or not. They know if it's playable or not already. They're talking term. And I'm encouraged by it, I think, as well as you, because you're already referring it as the Collie. Like, you're already making your nest. You've already got your seat planned out for the next season.
Oh, yeah, baby. Section 302. Well, now it's 202 because it took out the 300 level. But
my worry is, what's the deal with Barclays? Because they have until the end of the month, right, to figure out where they're going and to decide if they're out or if they want out or if Barclays wants them out of the deal. They had until the end of the month even to bargain in good faith? This doesn't seem like bargaining in good faith. Like, they're deciding where they're going before they've even sat down to bargain. I assume. I don't know, because no one is privy to the bargaining process aside from them. So maybe this is all already figured out between them and the Barclays, where they will play next year at the Barclays, and then that's it.
I think that's what it's going to be. I think they'll play next year at the Barclays Center, because that was already agreed upon.
Said.
Yeah. And I really believe that in 2019-2020, they'll be at the Coliseum for that 1 year, and then hopefully at the new place the following year.
man, that'll be so nice. That'll be so nice. Like, I don't like the nomadicy of it. Is that even a word? I'm putting it as a word. I don't like that they're moving from the Barclays to the Coliseum to whatever they're going to call it. Islanders Central is what I'm calling it. If they could just call it the Lighthouse, that would be amazing. That'd be so...
Such a troll job.
That would be such a troll job. That's a lot of transition, but like it's necessary. So I've made my peace with it. It's just it's less than ideal. I'd rather them just stay at Barclays until the Lighthouse is built. See what I did there? I just did it anyways. I'm planting it. I'm planting the seed for everyone.
You think Barclays would be, Mitch? We gotta get you somehow to the Coliseum. Just to see.
Yeah.
I've
been to the outside of it. I've never been inside of it.
When were you at the outside of it? After it was renovated or before?
That's the most recent time that I saw it, when it was renovated. So it looked like the typewriter on the outside.
Okay. Yeah. So you got the look at the air conditioning unit, the toaster yeah. looking thing. Yeah.
So that's all I can remember. Like, I know what the old one looks like. I just can't necessarily shake out that typewriter image out of my head.
Okay. Fair enough. The inside's pretty much the same, except for they put black seats in and painted everything black. I mean,
Who plays there right now? Is it a D League for the NBA?
It's the G League now.
Oh, right. The Gatorade League. Right.
It is the Long Island Nets.
Right. If they're playing when I'm in town, I'm going to have to look it up. So I'll be in town next month, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, mm-hmm. I think. Maybe we'll catch something so I can experience it, not necessarily as it was, but as it is.
Yes. So I think Perfect. If you did, my point is that you would want the Islanders to play there just on the interim basis. Why? Here's why, Mitch.
Yeah.
Agree or disagree, the Islanders playing at the Coliseum, even if it's just temporary, would get fans excited.
Agree. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you get them all excited, and then you say, hey, guess what? Now you're only driving an extra 4 miles west on Hempstead Turnpike to our brand new building, and you still have you bring the excited fan base and just move them a little bit further west. You don't make them get on a train. You don't make them go to Atlantic Terminal and change at Jamaica and all that stuff. No. You just say, get in your little car and drive a couple extra miles, and then you could tailgate and do all that fun stuff at our brand new building that doesn't look like a Slinky, a toaster, or what have you. And
We think.
And you could watch John Tavares, Matt Barzal, Ryan Pulock, and all of our favorites tear it up in Belmont.
Yeah. I understand the idea of narrative, and I understand the idea of bringing them home to the Coliseum. I get all that, and I'm all for it. I just don't like the pick up and move, right? That we have to go and play somewhere else. We now have to go play somewhere else. It just transitions are challenging, and change is challenging, right? So I'd like to avoid it as much as possible, but obviously it's the most ideal. It's not like they're changing to go play at Madison Square Garden or something. Or some random place. They're going to play back at the Coliseum. So it's the most ideal uprooting possible. It's just, I would like the least amount of transition as possible.
I understand that. I just think it would get...
But I get what you're saying.
I think it'd get fans excited, and then the very next year you have them at the new place, and I think that would kind of hype up the Belmont train a little bit as well.
Yeah, maybe. It's just for me, ideally, if I had to choose it, it would be Belmont for 2 years, and then... go to the new place, but I am well okay with them going from Barclays to the Coliseum to the new place, the Lighthouse. I gotta keep calling it that.
The Lighthouse. I don't think that's gonna catch on.
I'm gonna get it to catch on. I probably won't. I don't have that kind of pull, but I'm gonna work on it.
You know what?
I've already planted a seed, so
you did.
It's already on its work.
And you worked your magic with your boy, which we're gonna talk about a while. Well, we could kind of talk about him in this next segment, because the next segment's injuries, and he's currently injured.
Yeah.
Josh Bailey, an all-star Josh Bailey, is injured right now.
Woo! All-star! Woo! Yes!
We did it, folks.
That was like the least emphatic woo possible. I'm still getting over this cold that I've had for like 3 weeks now. getting annoyed by it. It's still got this, like, anyways, I don't have to go into detail, but I can't woo very loud. My singing on that video camera is about as emphatic as it gets. That was level 12 for me. The dial was all the way up to 12.
If you haven't seen it, you have to please stop listening to this. Never listen to us again. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But after listening to this, check out the video. It was hysterical. 10 out of 10. But yeah, so Josh Bailey, Andrew Ladd, Devin Toews, Linus Soderstrom, and kind of Ryan Pulock have injuries. So
bad. Yeah. It's bad. So we didn't even – Boy, did you put Boychuk in there?
Boychuk, DeHaan,
right,
Kuhlman.
So Boychuk, DeHaan, Bailey, Ladd out. Ladd, we don't know for how long. Bailey, we're not necessarily sure for how long. It could be short. DeHaan is done. Boychuk, who knows? He was skating, but it looks like it's going to be longer. Toews, done. Pulock, he got like some sort of jaw fracture, maybe, potentially. He was wearing a full cage the other day against New Jersey. But he played, so he's good to go. But this is bad. This is bad for the Islanders. That's just those three of Bailey, DeHaan, Boychuk. That hurts the Islanders' lineup significantly. And then you add in Ladd, who's been very good this year. You know, he's not putting up Bailey numbers, but he's doing everything right elsewhere.
Oh, he's been solid.
He's still putting up okay numbers, but he's the glue for that second line. And those are big misses. We're not talking about missing Cal Clutterbuck or Dennis Seidenberg. We're talking about guys that play big minutes and important roles on the team, and we've filled them with the best that we could. Anthony Beauvillier, I already forget his name, Brendan Fritz,
Tanner.
And Sebastian Aho. Tanner Fritz?
Tanner Fritz.
Why am I thinking Brendan? Where did Brendan come from? Who's Brendan? Is there even a Brendan on the Islanders roster?
Brendan Burke, the announcer.
I'm going to say that that's who I'm talking about, but that would be odd because he's clearly not a player. Well, good on me. Maybe I've had a little bit too much whiskey to numb my throat. Let's numb my brain instead of my throat.
Oh, boy. The dangers of alcohol,
so
kids.
The dangers of alcohol. But Beauvillier looked okay after he was called or sent down and called back up.
Agreed.
But like, these are the guys that we're filling the rosters with. We're not filling them with necessarily equal quality. So there's obviously going to be a downtick in the level of play, as we've seen. So this couldn't come at a worse time. Because the Islanders were looking to get out of a slump and then injury after injury after injury.
Mitch, I don't know if you're going to agree with me. I don't think you are. But I have a hot take for you.
Oh, here's a Matty hot take. We got one every episode. So we won't call you Matty Ice. We'll call you Matty Fire.
Matty Fire.
Does that work?
That's fine for the hot takes. I think the Toews and Soderstrom injury are more impactful to the Islanders than the Bailey and Ladd injuries. Let me explain why.
Yeah, please. Wow. Okay.
I'm not talking
about
that
fire is shining way too bright, my friend.
I didn't set it up right. It sounded better in my head. Let me explain.
Okay. Yeah, please do.
Injuries, long-term injuries, can stunt development.
Sure.
How close... Okay. If Toews didn't get hurt, he would be in the NHL right now instead of Aho.
Yeah.
This we know.
Right.
But now this could set him back. Soderstrom's looked at the goalie of the future because we know Sorokin's not coming over here.
Sure. Yeah, well, he's got a 3-year deal, so he still could, but yeah.
It's very unlikely that we will ever see Sorokin over here. These are two very important prospects. Probably, would you put them in top three Islanders prospects who have yet to make their NHL debut? Are they in your top three?
So you're ruling out Hosang in that one because he's made his NHL debut,
correct,
right? Then for sure.
Right. So pretty much two out of your top three most important prospects who are next up in the pipeline have a significant injury where they're missing time this year. I think that's a big deal.
Yep. Sure. You're also forgetting the rejuvenating powers of youth, which I wish I had, because I'm old and a little cold lasts me 3 weeks now rather than like a couple of days. I pulled something playing hockey the other day that I'm still feeling. That's been 2 weeks now.
I just picture you like an old washwoman, like hunched over with like a blanket over your head.
Oh, my back and my throat hurts. Oh, woe is me.
Yeah.
No, I still power through my day. Thank you very much, with my two young children who are just balls of energy. I think you overlook the healing factor with youth. So I get that there's a worry there that it's serious, because I know Taze is out the season. Soderstrom is not, but he had surgery. So that's always worrisome that you had to go to surgery. You'd rather have these things heal on their own independently of, or without intervention, medical intervention. But he's going to play again, at least even this season. So there's a little bit less to worry there on my behalf. I also don't necessarily know the extent of or what the injury is for Soderstrom. I'm just hoping it's not like a groin or a knee type thing. I'm hoping it's just like a...
Those can repeat, like, on a goalie.
Yeah, especially on a butterfly goalie. For Taves, I'm a little bit worried, but there's no way you can say that impact is greater than the one of a 95-point player.
Well,
I'm going to say six.
There's no guarantee that he's back next year, where these guys are guaranteed to be in the system next year.
That Bailey's back next year?
Yeah, there's no guarantee of that. He doesn't have a contract next year.
That's true, and he's UFA. But are we just basing that off next year or right now? Because I'm thinking of right now.
No, just in general. You have to.
In general? Yeah, I'm not thinking about next year. The only thing I'm thinking of in the future for the Islanders is the arena and John Tavares extension. Outside of that, present day.
So pretty much you're saying the entire Bridgeport Sound Tigers could get injured out for the year, and you're cool with it?
I would. Yeah, that's fine. As long as they can recover and play hockey again, that's fine. I'd much rather them not get injured. But if they, some weird like accident, and they all get like an ankle fracture, we'll say, on a bus trip or something, and it's nothing life-threatening, it's just rehab for 6 weeks and they'll be okay, am I going to lose sleep over it? Absolutely not. No, I'm not.
Wow, you're an evil guy.
Oh, I'm not asking for them to get their ankles broken. I'm just saying, in this crazy hypothetical situation that you yourself has set up, if they all, well, actually, no, I set it up. If they all get an ankle break, whatever, they will recover and they will rest up and they will be their normal regular selves once it's over. I'm more worried about Josh Bailey. I am. That is a third of the top line. Without him, we have Alan Quine playing on the top line. Alan Quine is playing top line minutes, Matt.
But he scored that goal that time.
So what?
I know.
How many times is that going to happen? Once? Twice? Three times Alan Quine's a top line player? I think not. And that's why I'm worried more about the Bailey one than anything else. And I think you should too. Both you and Matt and the listener.
I'm not worried about Josh Bailey being injured. I just think people are underestimating. Maybe it's just me being salty that people are underestimating the toes and Soderstrom injury. The Taze and Soderstrom injury.
Yeah, nothing wrong with his toes.
No.
Sure. Yeah, I'm concerned because I don't like seeing people get injured. I don't want to see people get hurt. But am I losing sleep over the fact that they're not finishing out their season? No, not necessarily. That's a lot of rehab time for both of them, although Soderstrom is going to play this year for HV71. Taze, on the other hand, will not play for Bridgeport, but that's plenty of rehab time, including the summer, before he comes to camp next year and he needs to take that step up. So I'm good to wait.
Okay. Let's get into our long topic of the week. It's one that
we love
to talk about. It's one that Isle Twitter loves to talk about. It's Garth Snow. Mitch, I wrote this week. I think it was this week. I don't even know. It could have been any week at this point. I've felt this way for a while, but it had to be said once again. Breaking it out.
Yep.
Hashtag done with Garth Snow.
Okay.
What? I thought you'd have to have a bigger response than that.
Well, I think it's because I keep hearing it all the time. I'm used to guys on the internet, or guys, I assume they're guys, but the, you know, hashtag feminism, they could be ladies, just saying, fire Garth, we got to fire Garth, like every day to no matter what, like, hey, happy morning to you, fire Garth. Okay, well, that wasn't necessarily relevant whatsoever, but thank you very much for that, I suppose. Maybe I'm numb to it. Like, yeah, I get it. He shouldn't be around anymore because he's not that great of a GM. He's not. He's still there because he hasn't been fired.
This is ridiculous. How long are we going to go on with this mediocrity? 12 years.
Right, but okay, so we fire him today, then what? We hopefully hire someone else that's better? Who's better that's out there?
Promote Lamoriello, Chris Lamoriello.
From what? He's not even assistant GM.
Yes, he is. He's the assistant GM.
I hadn't thought about him. I'm not...
Who cares? Anybody!
I'm not.
What's
I'm not
Nabokov
sure that
doing?
Anybody could do a better job. Bring him out of retirement. Look, I'm worried that that's going to seem that I'm okay with Gar Snow as being a GM. I'm not. But like I said earlier, I'm not okay with change. Especially when change isn't necessary, like it is now. We still have half a season to go. We saw what happened last year without any sort of trades. The biggest thing that they removed. Jack Capuano put in Doug Weight, who had the same message, who said the same things. He just said them in a different voice, and they went 24-12-4. Oh, no, I'm mistaken. Yes. Who says they don't do something maybe not as grandiose, but equally as efficient and gets them into the playoffs? Yeah. And as long as they get in the playoffs, Gar Snow's job is safe.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Do it now when they're in their slide and you say, so then Ledecky says, Tavares, losing is unacceptable in this franchise. And we just lost 5 games in a row. Our season is going down the tubes and we've had 12 years of mediocre hockey. We can't have that anymore. It's not so much of what Snow's done. And granted, he's done some pretty bad things. It's more of saying, hey, Tavares, you want to stay? We're going to build a winning culture. We're sick of this mediocrity.
Sure. Like,
if you're Tavares, how would you react if Ledecky then fired the general manager and said, we didn't like the direction this team was heading. We thought after 5 games losing, they didn't do anything. He didn't do anything to address any of the needs. It's clear to us that, you know, this team has holes on the third line, defense, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And we want to go another direction. And because losing is unacceptable to us, we want to build a winning culture. Or on the flip side, how would you feel with, yeah, after 13 years now with one playoff series win, we're going to stick with our guy. Please sign on the dotted line.
If I'm JT, I don't know. I'm not. If I was in his position, if I had that kind of skill, if I wore 91 on my back and I could score goals at will and make millions and millions of dollars playing hockey, oh man. Yeah, maybe I'd go with option number one. I get it. I absolutely get it that it's not a situation that can continue and losing cannot continue. I get it. I just think that they're going to wait out the season. I really do. I can get behind an argument saying that he needs to go now because now is just as good of a time as later because of, like I said earlier, where they did it. They made that drastic change where they fired Jack Capuano and hired a new guy in Doug Weight, and they went on that run and just missed out. They're not that far out of a playoff spot right now. I had the standings open a second ago. What are they? 2 points out, I think. 4 points out of a playoff spot. It's taken a while because Canadian internet is very slow. We have a lot of ground to cover. Here we go. No. So I get the idea that they can make up that space, and I think they're going to wait. But I also get the idea that, well, if we make that change today, we have that time already. Like a lot of teams in the English Premier League, I'm going to use one of my one soccer references per show. Through the halfway point of the season, they start changing managers, teams that are in the bottom position, because they know that there's plenty of time to make that jump back up. There's plenty of games left to address the gap. The Islanders are a single point out of a playoff spot right now, and they have a game in hand on that team. They're 3 points out of the first wild card spot, and they're 6 points out of a guaranteed playoff position, although two games in hand by that other team, which is the New Jersey Devils. So like, it's not insurmountable. Like we're still talking about teams like, what is it, the Edmonton Oilers are 19 points out of a playoff position right now. And people are still saying, well, they could still make it. They got two, like the Chicago Blackhawks, who are at 48 points, have two games in hand on the Edmonton Oilers, who have 39 points in 44 games. Like that seems a lot more insurmountable than the Islanders' 6 points. Like it's possible for them to do it if they make the change or if they just stay the course, because they have one of the best offenses in the league. So I could see it either way.
Okay, so if they get into the playoffs as currently constructed, are they going to make noise, or is it going to be a first round exit?
I think they can make noise. If they make the playoffs, they can make noise.
With Calvin DeHaan out and with Boychuk hobbled.
Well, all right, you said as it stands right now. So that means everyone who's on the roster today healthy is there? Maybe not.
But
assuming injuries rectify themselves as they do, and those players get back,
you're not getting DeHaan back.
Boychuk will be back. Then, yeah, maybe. As long as we get Boychuk back, we're in a much better position. Much, much, much better position already.
Even with Boychuk back, I don't feel comfortable with any of those pairings outside the top pair.
Okay. Fair enough. But the top pair plays like 20, 25 minutes a night, so.
That's great. What about the other 35 minutes?
Meh. You just hope that the Islanders can sustain any sort of offensive pressure.
It's not like they have Lundqvist in net either. We've seen what's happened with these two goalies. What if Halak regresses, Mitch?
Yeah, what if? There's a lot of what ifs. Are you going to fire a guy based on what ifs?
I'm going to fire him about 12 years of ineptuity, Mitch.
That's fair.
Come on, stop trying to be the good guy here. It's okay.
No, I'm not. I understand both sides. And look, I wrote a piece just the other day labeling out how bad he was, right? Like 20th ranked in regular season success rates, 16th ranked in postseason success rates amongst all NHL GMs currently in a position. That's bad. And he's the fourth highest tenured GM in the league. Generally, when you're the correlation between playoff success and tenure in your job as an NHL GM is a 0.6, which is quite high. The meaning that the longer you're in a job, the more likely you are to have playoff success, which has not happened for Gar Snow, because like you mentioned, he's barely made the playoffs half the time he's around. Now, is that an issue of the finances he's been given? I don't think so, because you have teams that operate on budgets that make the playoffs, like the Senators, like the Ducks. They have budgets just as much as the Islanders had budgets, and they still made the playoffs. It's bad drafting. It's bad development. That's a GM. I get the idea. I don't feel like the owners are these kind of like shoot from the hip guys, which is what I wrote. They're not going to do something based off of how things are going right now when there's still time to change it.
Duo is the final straw for me, and this is a good segue into kind of our next topic, because we especially disagree on this one. My final straw was the Scott Mayfield contract. To me, like, that just shows that he doesn't get it, Mitch.
Well, okay.
Mitch, no, hold on.
Yeah, go for it, please.
You know,
enlighten me.
You know me and my analogies.
Yep.
You have a car.
There we go.
It doesn't start.
Yeah.
Your tires are bald. You need brakes. And you go out and you get yourself an oil change. That's essentially what Gar Snow just did. He did something that is very cheap. You can find it anywhere. You don't have to go to the same guy to get it. You can get, you know, $15 oil changes all around the entire country. This is fine. But there are other integral pieces that you need for your car to be fully functioning that you did not address, but instead addressed an easily replaceable and easily fixable piece.
Okay. I've seen that argument a few times, and I think it's very naive, because you're missing one very important part of the puzzle, which is the other side of these contract signing equation. There's two sides to signing a contract. The person offering it and the person signing it. Scott Mayfield isn't in a position to deny any contracts. Oh, no, sorry, Garth. You keep your money. I don't want that, what is it, $7.5 million? I'm good. I'm Scott Mayfield. John Tavares, which I think is what you're intimating. Why didn't he sign John Tavares or Josh Bailey even?
No, I'm just, why? Why lock up a seventh D-man? What's the purpose?
Because you got him at $1.5 million. What, not, was it 1.5 or 1.45?
You did the same thing with Pelech. You can't have two guys serving the same role locked up for 4 and 5 years.
Yes, because the idea is that these guys are so young that they will get better, that they will eventually become your Calvin DeHaan's, making $1.45 million a year. That's nothing. Is it? I keep saying 1.45 or 1.5. I'm going to get it right here. Where is he? 1.45. That's nothing. And 1.6. We're looking at $3.05 million on the cap for a bottom-pairing defensive group. At worst, at best, a second-pairing defensive group. That's fantastic. That is less than a Calvin DeHaan by $300,000. $295,000.
Do you like Sebastian Aho?
Yeah.
Do you like Devin Taves?
Absolutely.
Do you like Robin Salo?
I don't know yet.
Van de Sample?
Sure.
You're blocking all those by signing these mediocre players. Do you want to see these guys or not?
Those guys probably weren't coming up next year anyways. Maybe Taze, sure. But we're also, there's three unrestricted free agents on the defensive end. Calvin DeHaan, Thomas Hickey, and Dennis Einberg. I picture two of those guys aren't sticking around. There's two holes right there for you.
Yeah, and you got to upgrade with someone who's ready top four. Those guys, their absolute ceiling is a bottom pairing defenseman.
I just said at best top four, or like a second pairing D, so a 3-4 at best.
I think you're overlooking those two. I think your expectations are too high.
Maybe, but like, I look at the reaction around, so it's just, it's a lot of get 91 signed, and where is it? A lot of, oh, great, that's nothing, or this is nothing. If nothing, this proves that Garth Snow's alive and actually working. Right. But I see a lot of, this is a steal. There's a lot of guys and girls out there saying, this is great. This is a great move for the Islanders because you're locking up a young guy with promise in with term for a really reasonable price point.
But it's Scott Mayfield, Mitch. That's, it's just,
so what are you having a hard time with? Is it the term or is it the length? Or sorry, it's the term or the money?
It's the term.
You're going to have to pay this guy anyways, right? This was the last year of his $625,000 deal. You're going to have to pay this guy anyways. How much are you willing to pay him up until the future? And keep in mind, he's 25 years old now. So in a couple of years, he's going to be UFA eligible. So you're buying a couple of UFA years on top of that. So you're going to pay premium on top of this. You've bought free agent years for a guy who's going to be at best a second pairing defenseman.
He's not any good.
He is actually he's not very good. He's good. He's a good defenseman. Would you want him on your team?
As a seventh D-man.
I don't see that. And that's obviously where we disagree. I see him as a functional NHL player.
You really think he could be your second pairing right-handed shot?
I'm saying at best, but I see him sitting in that third pairing.
What about Pulak?
Maybe. Sure, put him on the top pair. Put him on the third pair. I don't know where he fits in. I don't know where the organization values him, but I know that they value Scott Mayfield and what he brings to the team, and so they gave him 5 years. And I'm okay with that. In terms of a seventh, a sixth, even a fifth ranked defenseman on the team, I'm okay with $1.45 million for 5 years. That's great because they're going to need some money. They're going to need some money in years to come because they're going to be paying a ton of money to John Tavares. They're going to be paying a ton of money to Josh Bailey. And I know they have money coming off the cap in Kuhlman and Halak and, like we said before, Dennis Seidenberg and even Jason Chimera coming off the books. There's money coming off the books here. But they're still going to need more than that. So I'm okay with this. This is cost certainty. This is fantastic.
No.
And I know you disagree entirely.
Just why 5 years?
I don't know. They maybe wanted six and Garth didn't want to go there. Maybe they wanted 8, and Garza was like, that's not happening ever in anyone's imagination. Because he's 25 now, so 6, 7, 8, 9, he'll be 30 by the time this deal is done. Anything more than that is too much. Way too much. There's no way you keep an over 30-year-old Scott Mayfield in the books, no matter what the cost is.
I just think him and Pelech serve two similar roles.
Sure, but you need two guys on the bottom pair. One's left, one's right.
Okay, I would rather it not be them. I'd rather it be Taze and Aho or Van de Sample or one of those guys. They have a more, sure. They're more
you
promising.
You sound so dejected.
I
sucked all the life out of you. It feels great. I feel rejuvenated. My voice is getting better. My leg is feeling fine. That's what it feels like to suck in youth, like to get that youthful energy back into your body. This is fantastic. I understand witches all of a sudden.
You've killed my spirit in this episode. Let's move on.
Yes.
This is going to get me riled up too. So okay. This will be round 2. I've seen on Twitter a lot of people.
Already, the first part of that always gets you riled up. I've seen on Twitter.
A lot of people hating on John Tavares' leadership skills.
Oh, God. Can we just, please?
Mitch.
Yeah.
How many points does this guy have? He has 51 points in 43 games. He's on a career-high pace in points and goals. He is literally putting how many times since he's been here in 9 years has he put the Islanders on his back and willed them? In game 6 of the series against the Florida Panthers, he single-handedly took the team and said, we are not losing this game. We are not playing a game 7. He scored the tying goal. He scored the game-winning goal. At the Nassau Coliseum preseason game. Granted, it's just a preseason game, but it was a huge moment for a lot of people. He, once again, big spot, put the team on his back. I would rather a clutch, very good player who leads by example than have some gritty nobody be my captain just because he's been around the league forever.
Right. So you're taking shots at Derek Engelin. I can't get on any train where it says, oh, I'm criticizing John Tavares.
No.
And his leadership, because he's shown year over year that he's the guy, that he's clearly captain material. He may not say it in the press or convey it through the press, but he clearly conveys it on the ice and with his players. And the one criticism I hear is that over the last 5 games, he's only got 2 points. Okay, sure. That's true. He's only got 4 points. Oh, he's a -7. Sure, that's true. He is a -7 on the ice. But again, plus minuses, come on, let's be honest. That's a phony stat. That's fake news. But if we look at it, he had 7 shots on net against Pittsburgh. 7. Himself. Sure, he didn't score, but he's clearly creating chances out there. He had 5 against New Jersey. He's clearly creating chances out there. Sure, Pittsburgh, Boston, Colorado, he had 2, 1, and 2 in terms of shots. So he's not generating that much there. But the guy can have a downturn in terms of productivity on the ice and still be a good leader. Look, he had 2 shots on goal against Philadelphia, and he scored. So, the guy doesn't need to shoot a lot, doesn't need to produce necessarily every game, because you know what? Players don't produce every game. That's not how this game works. He's a point per game player because you divide the number of points based off the number of games. That doesn't mean he's literally scored a point a game. That's not how this works. He does other things to get this team going. And when they're not going, he's trying to figure out how to get them to go. Clearly, obviously, anyone who's taken a shot at his leadership needs to recheck why they're a fan of this franchise.
It's his.
That's my hot take for the day.
No, that's completely fair. And it's his work ethic, too. The guy works harder than anybody I see on this team. He always wants to get better. I heard, who wasn't it, Ledecky on WFAN recently said that Tavares had a endorsement opportunity, and he was like, how much time am I going to have to put into this product? And then they told him, and he was like, no, I'd rather use that time to get better at hockey. That's who I want my captain to be. I'm sorry. I want my captain to be hockey breathing, and that's John Tavares.
That's right. Yeah. I don't think we can disagree at all. There's... I don't understand how anyone could see it otherwise. I don't get it. Oh, they're not winning, so it's his fault. Okay, sure. Yeah, he's got to find a way to win. They'll find a way. And then when they win, what is it? Like, oh, he's the best captain ever now. Well, you just said he was terrible because he went on a 5-game losing streak. Like, anyways, it's just too much. It's just too much.
All right.
Now you suck the spirit back out of me.
All right, I have it.
Unbelievable.
Maybe we...
It's now in the ether, just floating around.
I have a proposal for you, a question of some sorts.
Okay.
Should the Isles go after Jaromir Jagr?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why do you think they should? I read the piece. I just want to hear it from your mouth. Well, yeah. Why?
Because Calgary wants him gone, and he's a $1 million cap hit, and he's better on the fourth line than Jason Chimera is.
Is he, though? Like, the one defining factor for Jason Chimera is his speed, and the one defining factor of Jaromir Jagr right now is that he's got no speed. The guy is done. He's done. It's over.
Mitch, you're a big fan of possession numbers. Did you look his possession numbers up?
I did not, because... Anyways, go. What are his possession numbers? Keep in mind, Calgary is the fourth highest Corsi 4 rating team on 5-on-5 in the league right now. So there's something to be said there where the Islanders are not. So go ahead.
52.2 CF percentage.
Okay. Sure. Obviously, it's going to be high again. He's playing on a Corsi-heavy team. So sure. And is he a part of that? Is it a chicken or the egg situation? Who knows? But still,
since
I don't care for that necessarily. On the fourth line, I want that incessant, that forecheck. I want the forecheck. He can't give us that.
You don't think he's better than Jason Chimera?
Oh, are we talking about his career or right now in his
right
in his,
right
in
now
his...
this year? Would you rather have on your you'd rather have Jason Chimera right now than Jaromir Jagr?
Yes,
you're certifiably insane. You're killing me this episode, Mitch. I can't even take you serious anymore. I think you're just doing this to troll me.
No, I'm not. I'm honestly not. Like, it's not to say that I like Jason Chimera. It's just the two. I prefer what Jason Chimera brings, which is the speed game. I prefer that over Jaromir Jagr, who does not. At 45, the guy's waiting at the blue line. There's no defensive pullback from him. There's none. And if there is, he's not getting up the ice the other way in any sort of... He's looking to change already. I'm good. Like, the guy is an absolute legend, but if it's not working in Calgary, don't bring that here. We need something that's going to work, and it's not working. So, no, I'm good.
Very well.
I can hear the argument. I just don't agree with it whatsoever.
Do you have anything to bring to the table for the social segment?
I don't have anything else. I just wanted to talk about the Mayfield extension, because I saw some people saying, I don't understand. Why is this a problem? Like, this is a problem. Why are we doing this? And I was like, what? I don't understand how this is a problem. How is this a problem? This is a great deal. I got nothing else outside of that.
Okay.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
Do you want to talk about the announcement?
Yes.
Okay. There's a big announcement. Serious. Mitch, as you know, is from Canada. We talk about it every single show. He plays the Canadian stereotype. I play the American stereotype. It's funny. It works. We have a good dynamic going.
I don't say A often enough for that.
No, you need to work that in a little bit more.
Yeah. But, all right.
We'll get to that next week, maybe. February 2nd, Mitch is coming down here to Long Island to watch the New York Islanders play on the 3rd, but he's getting here the 2nd. So we decided that on February 2nd, we're going to do a live podcast where you, the listener, can come watch us do the live show.
Woo! Burr, 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 burr. That's my like hype-up noise.
Why would you want to see us two idiots ramble about the Islanders? Plenty of reasons. One, free drinks. Two, free pizza. Three, the possibility to make new friends, a.k.a. Mitch and I. We're very friendly. We will talk to you. If you say that you read our website, we will love you forever. Number four, we are going to do raffles, trivia games, and best of all, we're doing it for charity. We are going to donate the money that we get
from our raffle to America's Vet Dogs, which you might know from the Islanders, their calendar shoot where they're all holding the cute puppies. Yep, that's the organization we're going to be donating the money to. So what's better than Islanders and puppies? Nothing. So there you go. It's going to be held at the South Hempstead Fire Department. We're going to have all the information on our website, on our Facebook page, and our Twitter. So make sure, if you're not already, go to facebook.com/eyesonisles and go to twitter.com/eyesonislesfs at eyesonislesfs. And all the information will be there as it gets closer. But February 2nd, I'm going to say doors are going to open at 7. Show time to be decided. We haven't really talked about that yet, but we're going to be doing a live show, and we want you guys to be there. It's going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of Islanders-themed stuff, and how else would you rather spend the Friday night?
I can't think of a better way to sit in a room with a bunch of people talking about the Islanders. I can't. I don't get enough of that. I don't get any of that. I wear Islanders gear around here, and people look at me like I'm the plague or something. It's awful.
You're going to fit right in here. Like, Long Island is the Islanders. Like, it works.
I can't wait. It's going to be amazing. Especially that we're doing it on Long Island. We're not going somewhere in the city at a bar there. We're doing it on Long Island proper. It's fantastic. I can't wait.
Yeah, so obviously stay tuned for more info on that as it gets closer, but we just wanted to make the grand announcement on the show this week, and each week leading up to it, we will, you know, talk about it more. So it's 3 weeks away. Again, we have a lot of time, but look for info on our Facebook, Twitter page, and then if you're a weekly listener, you'll be updated each week as well as we get closer and new developments come out. Mitch, I got the raffle tickets already. I got 2,000 of them delivered to my house, so I have big expectations for this.
We better hope 2,000 people show up and not like 20, even though 20 would be fantastic. I can't wait till like for 5 people to show up, and it'll be awesome. Us and those 5 people are going to have the times of our lives. So much pizza. So much pizza.
This is perfect for you. Have you ever had New York pizza?
Yes. Okay. Of course I have. And I don't eat it with a fork and knife.
Good. You fold it?
Although I fold it when I'm there. When I'm here in Canada, we don't have the floppy, thinner pizzas. We have like, it's a weird thing here. So I use fork and knife here. Until you get to the crust, then it's all fingers, baby. Right in the dipping sauce. I want pizza now. I'm hungry.
Oh, man. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're excited.
Yeah. I can't wait. I honestly can't wait. I know it's only 3 weeks away, but I'm checking all my bags. I've done all my packing. I'm ready to go. I'm usually like absolute last minute. Like we went out for the weekend, the family and I, and I packed my stuff the hour before we left. So
That's how
excited I am.
How excited Mitch is to come to Long Island, meet all you guys, and it's going to be fun. So definitely be on the lookout for that. Mitch, got anything else you want to add?
That's all I got.
Okay. So once again, be sure to check out the website, eyesonisles.com, for all opinions, news, updates, anything your little heart desires. Check it out on the website. Give us a follow on Twitter at eyesonislesfs. Facebook is facebook.com/eyesonisles. My personal Twitter is at Matt O'Leary NY. Mitch's is at TLO Mitch. Mitch, episode 21 in the books. Next week, Mike Bossy edition.
Oh, my man. My man, Mike Bossy.
Mitch.
Can't wait.
Have yourself a good night.
You too, buddy.